You're listening to the DolphinsTalk.com Podcast Network.
Hello, Miami Dolphin fans, and welcome to the Same Old Dolphin Show, part of the DolphinsTalk.com podcast network. I'm Josh Katzker. With me today and every day is my brother from the exact same mother, Aaron the Brain. Aaron, say hello to the people.
Hello to the people.
Well, Brain, we know who's playing in the Super Bowl, and you'll never guess which team from the AFC is playing in the Super Bowl.
Oh, we got the new Tom Brady.
Dude, I said this dude is on, Patrick Mahomes is on a trajectory to be better than Tom Brady. And honestly, when it comes to just pure ability to play the game, he might already be there.
Well, I mean, when it comes to just physical tools, I mean, Tom Brady was never the elite quarterback. That's the reason why he was a seventh round pick. That's the magic of Tom Brady.
The difference is Patrick Mahomes has all of the physical tools. Tom Brady just is a physical tool. So, you know, that's where we're at. But we're not going to spend this whole episode talking about the Kansas City Chiefs and Tom Brady. No, we're going to be talking about the Miami Dolphins. In particular, we're going to be talking about Christian Wilkins, because this is the next episode in our series of conversations about decisions that the Dolphins have to make about particular players. So this is going to be the Christian Wilkins episode. But before we can get into all of the Christian Wilkins chat, as we had planned, about 40, not even 48 hours after we went live last week, Brain, the Dolphins announced that they and Vic Fangio have mutually agreed to part ways. And, you know, I don't even think it seemed like he had barely even exited the building that he had signed a contract with the Philadelphia Eagles to be their new defensive coordinator. So I gave my thoughts on the show that we did here on DolphinsTalk.com with Vic Fangio, or not with Vic Fangio, talking about Vic Fangio with Mike and Kevin Dern last Wednesday, but we didn't get your thoughts on the situation. So what were your thoughts on the Vic Fangio situation and whether or not it's a loss for the Miami Dolphins?
Well, I definitely think it's a loss, and I'll tell you about that in just a moment. But I also think that it's clear that he never really wanted to be here. I think when you look back at everything that led up to him being here, that weird, you know, couple of weeks where he was like, it was like reported, but he was very non-committal about it. And then like him being like asked about it, and he was like, no, it's, you know, I haven't made a decision. I haven't signed anything yet. And yeah, like obviously the Eagles still had to play in the Super Bowl, but there was this weird, you know, it's being reported by multiple sources. And then you have other sources that say he hasn't made up his mind yet. And then he eventually comes here and, you know, you've got so many players saying behind the scenes that he never really wanted to be here. You have players saying, you know, that, you know, Kick Rocks, like they were done with him. They didn't get along. They didn't have a good relationship. It seems to me that he was always kind of eyeing getting into that Philadelphia position, and Philadelphia just wasn't ready to like offer him that job. So he said, well, all right, I'm sick of sitting, you know, on the sidelines, you know, not the actual sidelines, but sitting at home and devising everything from my computer. I'm sick of just consulting. He wanted to go out there and be a coach again. So he took this job but he was always just eyeing that opportunity opening up. And the fact that he made the move so quickly, it was just obvious that his mind was made up that that's where he wanted to be.
Yeah. And it seems like, you know, the players were happy about it. It seems like this was a guy that didn't really connect with his players. And, you know, he's kind of a little bit of an old school coach. And I guess it's not terribly surprising. I mean, you saw how things kind of ended in Chicago for him. They didn't go terribly well there when he was the head coach. So I guess it's not surprising, but it seems like he and the players never really connected. And as we saw, as evidenced on social media, when you had numerous players seem to be celebrating the fact that he was gone. So I think there are a lot of layers to that conversation, and many of which I don't know that we even need to get into anymore, because that ship has sailed. It's gone. So we can get into the question about whether it's actually the inmates running the asylum, and whether, you know, the players need to toughen up, or whether it's Fangio needing to change his ways to be able to connect with the players. Either way, we understand the idea that Mike McDaniel is a player's coach. And when he heard directly from players in their exit interviews that they weren't happy with the way that Vic Fangio was approaching it, that made the decision, okay, we're going to move on. And that was the end of it. So,
yeah. And I think, and just to kind of, you know, again, I do think it's a loss. And the reason that I think it's a loss is because I don't think that that's a guy that's easily replaced. Now, you're going to hear the candidates that are being talked about, and they really don't have much of a track record. The most attractive candidate, I would say, is probably keeping it in-house with Anthony Campanile, just because he has the familiarity with the players. He has a rapport with the players, which apparently was an issue. He has the familiarity with the players. He also has the familiarity of being under Coach Fangio for one season, and also being under Boyer and Brian Flores in seasons previous. So he brings that experience of these players, how they can play under those systems, and him having an understanding of those systems. The thing that we don't know is how he is as a defensive play caller, because he's just never been that. And so it's always tough to project that. But then, you know, you compare him to, you know, people are putting Brandon Staley out there. Well, Brandon Staley was the defensive play caller for the Los Angeles Chargers the last 3 years, and they never finished better than 20th. He was an abject failure there. And prior to that, he had 1 year as a defensive coordinator. So it's not like this was a guy that had a big track record either. So that hire would not excite me in any way. I don't know that they're even talking. Have you heard any other names? Like,
oh, yeah.
Are they talking to
list.
Sean Desai? Or are they
I've
talking
got the
to-
list. I've got the list of, this is the list of candidates who are confirmed to either have interviewed or will be interviewing with the Dolphins for head coach. As you mentioned, Anthony Campanile.
Defensive coordinator.
Right. These are guys interviewing for the Dolphins DC position, right? Anthony Campanile. As you mentioned, Brandon Staley. They're also conducting an interview with Ryan Slowick, who is the Dolphins' interior linebackers coach. They've requested an interview with Bobby Babich, who's the linebacker coach for the Buffalo Bills. And they're also going to be interviewing Leslie Frazier, who was most recently the defensive coordinator of the Buffalo Bills. We also know that while they're not going to conduct an interview with him, we know that the Dolphins have requested an interview with Carolina Panthers defensive coordinator Ejiro Evero, which suggests, when you look at those guys, Evero, Frazier, Staley, the Dolphins are interested in keeping a lot of the concepts of the system that Fangio put in place. They want to stay close to that. They don't want to venture away. They don't want to go 180 degrees to it. They want to kind of stay close to that same system. And you can see a lot in those candidates that they're bringing in. The one that is really interesting to me is Leslie Frazier. I think that is a really, really, really interesting candidate. we heard from Greg Thompson, who is does cover one covering the Buffalo Bills. And he says about Frazier, his defenses were statistically and to some extent stylistically very similar to Fangio. He's not a step back, both because Frazier isn't as bad as people think. He's actually very good. And because Fangio is also very good, but not on the elite pedestal that many thought. And then he would go on to say the best endorsement he can give for Leslie Frazier is that he would genuinely be upset if Leslie Frazier became the defensive coordinator for the Miami Dolphins. I would like to shed some light on Leslie Frazier as well, because I've heard a lot of people kind of hand waving the idea of Leslie Frazier. And I think a lot of that is because of how things ended up with his time in Buffalo. And what we've learned from, well, just it's been reported by Ty Dunn, who runs Go Long. It's a long form independent football coverage website. And he talks extensively in a piece that he did called The McDermott Problem about how a lot of the problems in Buffalo are Sean McDermott problems, not necessarily Leslie Frazier. And I've got a couple of excerpts that I want to read real quick. This is from his piece called The McDermott Problem. He says, the next year, 2020, McDermott faced the man who hired and fired him in primetime spot. The Kansas City Chiefs, the defending champs, came to town, and one veteran remembers McDermott swiping defensive play calling from Leslie Frazier for this showdown. His master plan? Invite the run with light boxes in a concerted effort to eliminate big plays. Andy Reid was much obliged as the Chiefs ran for 245 yards in a breezy 26-17 win. Patrick Mahomes went a cool 21 of 26 with two scores. Kansas City converted 10 of 15 third and fourth downs. Sean took over the coaching on defense that week, this player said, and then effing blamed Leslie Frazier. More. And of course, there's Leslie Frazier. This team's assistant head coach and defensive coordinator departed under shadowy circumstances. At the NFL Combine, McDermott said that Frazier informed him the week prior that he was going to take the 2023 season off. Being the Bills general manager added during his presser that Frazier wasn't ready to retire and wanted to take a step back. No further details were given. All this did was create more questions than answers. Sources close to Frazier indicated that your suspicions are true. McDermott wanted Frazier out. Removing the defensive coordinator conveniently pins recent playoff failures on the coordinator. But outright firing the coach, the team realized, would have been horrible optics. Frazier's defenses have statistically ranked amongst the NFL's best, and you'd be hard-pressed to find coaches more beloved across the entire league. His reputation as a coach, as a man, is sterling. One source noted that it also could have jeopardized the team's opportunity at draft capital. In 2020, the NFL approved a new provision that rewards teams third-round compensatory picks in each of the next two drafts if one of their minority coaches became a head coach. By title, Frazier was the highest ranking assistant. Sean wanted to blame, one of Frazier's fellow coaches in Buffalo said, the blame game. You're going to take the blame on this one. And Leslie's like, oh no, I'm not. Thus, both sides came to this kumbaya agreement for all to save face. Now, there is truth to Frazier wanting to decompress. I've been told that he still has the desire to compete and still loves coaching players today. He'll be coveted. Those who've spoken to Frazier, 64, sense a strikingly rejuvenated coach. One ex-colleague described him as glowing and as energetic as I've seen him, adding that Frazier realized it was the atmosphere in Buffalo, not the profession, that was taking a toll. So, take that for what it's worth, but I think Leslie Frazier is a guy that I am very interested in potentially bringing in, because, as you mentioned, it's difficult to know with a lot of these guys what it's going to be like when they come in as a defensive coordinator. Leslie Frazier has a track record, and it's a pretty good one.
Yeah, well, I mean, Leslie Frazier comes in and he's experienced, and you're not going to have that drop off from an experience perspective from Fangio to Leslie Frazier. Is he as creative? I mean, not that we saw a whole lot of creativity. I know that the Fangio defense has more in it. I think it was difficult with, you know, first you've got to have that period of time where guys are getting acclimated to playing the defense. They're actually learning the defense, all of the language and the communication and the new techniques, because they were playing, like, you couldn't go, further removed from the defense that you were playing before, to go from what you were playing under Boyer to what you were playing under Fangio. And so then they finally do, and then they're playing at a really high level, and then they start dropping like flies. So I'm not necessarily sold that any of these guys are going to be like an upgrade, but obviously, Leslie Frazier brings, you know, an experience and a track record that I think most would say at worst is a lateral move, but he's also a player's coach and he has that going for him. So if the Dolphins are looking to do that, then I think that that move makes a lot of sense. Or if they're looking to really roll the dice and try to swing for the fences, knowing that they may very well strike out, that would be the Campanile hire. I also think that, like, you know, you go and you hire a Leslie Frazier, and if Leslie Frazier does a really good job but wants to kind of retire in a couple of years, then you kind of have this grooming situation with Anthony Campanile. So, you know, that would be, but I would say those two guys make the most sense. I'm not necessarily bringing in another young coach to come in to be the defensive coordinator without much of a track record over an Anthony Campanile. The only of those guys that I would consider hiring over him would be Leslie Frazier.
Well, so either way, I think the key here is that this is not the NFL we know is a pressure cooker no matter what, but this is not a situation where the coach is coming in with a window of time to develop something, which I think is the part of the reason that they don't want to do a big system change, because they don't have time to have fits and starts like they did at the beginning of the season with this team. This team's window is shrinking, and particularly for this head coach to show real progress with this team, because for all of the talk about how he is revolutionizing the culture, we also heard that about Brian Flores. For all of the talk about how he is bringing this team forward and making progress, and it certainly seems like he has. We had one of the most exciting offenses to watch for most of this season. The fact of the matter is, this is still a team that hasn't won a playoff game since 2000. So while you can philosophically have all of these talks and all of this conversation about how much better the team is getting, how much progress you're making, until that you start to see clear, definitive progress on the field and you can see those results, playoff victories, winning the division, doing something like that, until something like that happens, there's no real progress. Because all of that stuff is all well and good, but that's all icing on the cake. You need cake. And the NFL is a league where cake is the important thing. You don't want to end up with a plate full of icing. Although, I mean, icing is good. Icing is good and delicious. But the fact is that you need to have some substance. And the substance is actually winning playoff games and actually making progress in that respect. This team has yet to do that, which is why the conversation about the player that we're going to talk about in just a minute is so, so important. But before we have that conversation, a reminder to you, if you're not doing so already, to make sure that you are following us on Twitter at Amplified to Rock, at Aaron the Brain. That's at Aaron the Brain. The show is at Samuel Dolphins. Excuse me. You can follow us on X, which you can find at twitter.com. You can also subscribe to the Same Old Dolphin Show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, SoundCloud, anywhere that you get your podcast. Leave us a 5-star rating. Leave us a positive review. We appreciate that very much. Shout out to everybody watching on the Dolphins Talk YouTube channel. Go ahead and smash that thumbs up button and subscribe to the channel. We got all kinds of good stuff coming your way. And make sure you're visiting DolphinsTalk.com each and every day. It is your one-stop shop for all things Miami Dolphins and will be all throughout the offseason. Also, shout out to everybody watching on the I'm a Miami Dolphin fan Facebook page. What's up, everybody? Thank you for joining us. We appreciate it. And just again, a reminder, we're toying with the idea of possibly starting a Patreon. So if there are things that you would be interested in on a Patreon, like perks, interactive things, extra content, that sort of thing, let us know. Throw it in the comments below. We appreciate it. Or tweet them at us. We'd love to hear from you. Brain. Let's talk about Christian Wilkins. Christian Wilkins and Zach Seeler were kind of the heart of this Dolphins defense this season. I mean, that offense, that defensive line was very much like the heart and soul of this Dolphins defense. And at the heart of it was Christian Wilkins and Zach Sealer. Christian Wilkins made a big bet on himself prior to this season when he said that he was not going to accept the offer that Chris Greer and the Miami Dolphins brass made him to agree to an extension before the season. And it is a bet that he won. He put up career numbers, a career year, an absolutely fantastic year this season. And he stayed healthy, which he has basically been a healthy guy his entire NFL career, knock on wood. And so now he's in this position where he is in for a big payday. The question is that a payday that is going to come with the Miami Dolphins? Or is it a payday that's going to come somewhere else? So as you think about Christian Wilkins' brain, What are the options that you think the Miami Dolphins have with this key defensive tackle?
There's really three options. He's going to be a free agent. So you're either signing him to an extension or just giving him a new contract, or because of moves that have been made, picking up Tua's fifth year option so that you can delay that a year. You have the ability now to where if you need to, you can also franchise. You can put the franchise tag on Christian Wilkins, or you can simply let him walk. Now, I know there's a fourth option. The fourth option is, well, you can trade him. I don't think you're trading him without putting a franchise tag on him. So I think if you franchise tag him, there becomes a new conversation about, is he going to play the year under the franchise tag, or are you just simply franchise tagging him so that you buy yourself time to trade him and shop him around? But realistically, those are the three options. You're either giving him a new contract, you're letting him walk, or you're putting the tag on
him. So, how do you approach it if you're the Miami Dolphins, Bryn?
So for me, I want to start because I didn't really talk about this when we talked about Tua, and I should have. And that is, what is the purpose of this offseason? Because we are all in agreement that this is a huge offseason. The Dolphins have a ton of big decisions to make. That's why we're doing this series of shows, because more so than we've had really, I think in any season in recent memory, the Dolphins have decisions to make on really, really good players, which is a testament to kind of where they're at in the building of this thing. But if they make the wrong decisions here, this could set them up for failure over the next several years. But if they make the right decisions, this could really set them up for success and be the foundation of potentially a championship team, which is what we're all hoping. First, I want to dispel the rumor that the Dolphins are in the capocalypse. I understand that they are $51 million over the cap. They can very easily get under the cap and have cap space by restructuring Tyreek Hill, Jalen Ramsey, and Bradley Chubb, and cutting Emmanuel Ogba and Keon Crossan. Oh, and you can restructure Zach Sealer and save yourself another $4.5 million. You give yourself $25 million of cap space, roughly. And that's before you even talk about potentially a contract extension with Tua that potentially could free up another $15 to $18 million in cap space. So this team has wiggle room to make things work. So the goal of this offseason, honestly, is to lock up your foundational pieces. So the goal of this offseason is identifying these players that you have to make decisions on, which of them are foundational pieces. Are you going to be able to sign every single one of them? No. But which ones are the most important to sign and you lock them up? We started with Tua. I mean, Tua, is going to be here next year regardless. So it's not like a lock him up kind of situation. It's more of a cap space situation about whether or not you can come to the agreement on the terms that make sense and also help you so that you can re-sign some of these guys this season, which is one of the reasons why I think it's a no-brainer to give Tua the extension. But who are the next guys that you need to sign? You can sign Christian Wilkins. Now, Christian Wilkins, it was reported last year that he wanted in the neighborhood of somewhere around that Quinnen Williams deal, and the Dolphins didn't want to quite give him that. They played hardball with him. He bet on himself, and so he played his contract year out. And they went out and they gave the contract extension to Zach Sealer. Well, here's the thing about the Zach Sealer extension. The Zach Sealer extension was a bargain. And so while I agree that there is some credence to, well, are you going to pay Zach Sealer $12, $13 million a year? And then are you going to pay Christian Wilkins $23, $24 million a year? Are you going to put $37 million a year annual average salary? Not necessarily cap space, but are you going to put that all in two defensive tackles, two interior defensive linemen? I think there's an argument to be made about whether or not that's prudent. But what I would say is that this guy is absolutely a pillar of this team. And that, as I mean, granted, I don't think that we need to necessarily be trying to win in 20. I mean, look, you're trying to win. You're trying to get better every year. Realistically, I don't think the goal is to win the Super Bowl next year. I'm sure that they will state that that is the goal, and there's a world where that exists. But realistically, this team next year, the goal is lock up as many guys as you can this year so that when you have the cap flexibility, you can make everything work down the road because you're really trying to extend this winning window. And I don't see how letting Christian Wilkins walk, unless you get just a sweetheart of a deal in a trade, is going to work. So I'm of the opinion that you need to keep him. Now, the question is, what does that contract look like? And, well, if you don't get that contract, do you franchise him? I've been saying for 2 years where this is going is it's probably heading to the Dolphins giving Christian Wilkins the non-exclusive franchise tag. If you don't know how that works, all you got to do is look back at last season with the Baltimore Ravens and Lamar Jackson. They gave Lamar Jackson the non-exclusive franchise tag. What the non-exclusive franchise tag does is, unlike the exclusive franchise tag, which will take after the free agency period and take the top five salaries at the position and give that player a one-year deal at that average, what this will do is a slightly smaller number because they're going to look at the top five salaries over the last 5 years and then proportionally put that against this year's salary cap. So it's a smaller number. And also it allows him to negotiate with other teams. The caveat in that is that if a team signs him to an offer sheet, the Dolphins have the right to match said offer sheet, or that player goes to that team, but that team has to send Miami 2 first-round picks. If you can't come to terms with the long-term deal, you say, okay, Christian Wilkins, we want to keep you. We absolutely do. We can't seem to agree on what the number is. So what we're going to do is we're going to put this tag on you and we're going to allow you to set your market. We're going to go out there and you can negotiate with any team that you want. And if that team is willing to both pay you and give us 2 first-round picks, well, then goodbye. But the odds of that happening are astronomically low that any team is going to pay, you know, whatever contract he wants and give Miami 2 first-round picks. So realistically, what you're doing is you're finding out what the market really feels about him. And then you're going to give him a full market value the same way Baltimore ended up going back to Lamar Jackson and said, okay, this is what people think. This is what we're going to pay you and you're going to pay him. And that's what it is. And then by doing so, you're going to free up, you're gonna sign him to a contract where the first year of his contract, he's gonna have a $6 to $8 million cap space number, which then in turn allows you to do other things. And it's very obvious to me that that's the way this is going, unless, of course, they could just agree to terms earlier, which I think would be better because it would make things a lot easier for the Dolphins. It wouldn't put them in as much of a time crunch if they could just come to terms on this. But I think that's absolutely where you're going. I don't see how you build, you tear everything down. You have an entire rebuild. Your first pick in the rebuild is Christian Wilkins. You knock the pick out of the park. The guy gets better every single season to the point where he's knocking on the door of being an all-pro. And then you somehow you're going to just let him walk because you don't think he's worth the money? No, that's just that would be very Dolphins to let that happen. I don't see that happening. I don't see how this team extends their winning window by not keeping Christian Wilkins.
I would agree 100%. This is, as you referred to him, a pillar of the Miami Dolphins defense. And he is going to be, he is absolutely a player that this team, as it builds, whether 24 is the Super Bowl year or whatever, this is that guy. As you look in the years to come, he is one of those stud players that you expect to be part of the heart and soul of this defense for the next several years. I would put him in that category. I would put Jalen Phillips in that category. I would put Javon Holland in that category. These are these key players who absolutely are going to be part of your long-term plan as you're building this team, right? So, yes, I mean, you hit the nail on the head. So your options here with Wilkins are you extend him, you franchise tag him, or the third option is you just let him go and you just let him hit the market and get what he's going to get. That would, I think, be the height of idiocy for the Miami Dolphins to let him go. If Christian Wilkins is going to go play for another team, you need to get something out of it is basically how I feel. It's got to be that transition tag. If you're not the
non-exclusive franchise.
The non-exclusive, right? If that's what it's going to be, then that's what it has to be. But like, you cannot just simply let him walk. And as you see, the Miami Dolphins pursuing defensive coordinator candidates who are going to stick to that, you know, who are closer stylistically to that Vic Fangio scheme. Again, the entire heart of that defensive schematic is having those two key defensive tackles being run stoppers up front, which allows you to play those lighter boxes. That's such a huge part of how that defense works. And as such, you've got that incredible combination of Zach Sealer and Christian Wilkins. You're not going to let Christian Wilkins go and then have somebody come in and step in and be even as good as he is. Like, yet that's the lottery that you would be playing to hope that you could bring in somebody to replace him and hopefully be as good. So to me, it's a no-brainer. You figure it out. You find that way. You figure out what the number is. Listen, you're the Dolphins. You gambled. You're Chris Greer. You gambled and lost here. You know, because you could have had him at probably a slightly lower number than what you wanted to offer last year, and you didn't. And so now this guy went out and had the season that he had, and so now you got to pay him. And I just think moving on from him would be just the height of lunacy for me. So I mean, this is, to me, it's a simple question. I mean, I know that there are people, and we see them in the chat, a lot of people here watching live on the I Am a Miami Dolphin Fan Facebook page and the Dolphins Talk YouTube channel. Shout out, everybody. Smash that like button if you would. We see those people, and there are some of them say that you got to move on from him. You got to just let him go. You know, you got the best out of him in his contract year, and now you're going to pay him, and then he's going to drop off the same way Emmanuel Ogba did or something like that, you know? And I understand that way of thinking. As Dolphin fans, you've been burned before, but I just cannot fathom letting Christian Wilkins go play for somebody else next season. Can't even think about it.
Yeah, well, and here's the thing. Like, if you can't come to the agreement by giving him the non-exclusive franchise tag, you're probably agreeing to a 1 year, $20 million contract. And the thing is, can the Dolphins stomach that? Well, you can stomach either playing Tua on the fifth year option or Christian Wilkins on a franchise tag. I would prefer, and I'm sure the Dolphins would prefer, to have neither of those things be the case. But if you had to, you can stomach one of those things. Because again, by simply restructuring Tyreek Hill, Jalen Ramsey, Bradley Chubb, and Zach Sealer, and then cutting Emmanuel Ogba, Jerome Baker, and Keon Crossan, you suddenly go from being $51 million over the cap to being $25 million under the cap. And that's before we even make a decision on Tua, you know, potentially extending Tua or potentially cutting bait with Xavien Howard, which we're going to talk about in a few weeks. So there's no doubt that the Dolphins could definitely, if they sign these guys, could afford to then also give extensions to those other guys like Connor Williams and Robert Hunt, who we're going to talk about probably next week. But you can even, given the flexibility that you have with that cap number by making those moves, you could even stomach playing out a year of Christian Wilkins on the franchise tag or Tua Tagovailoa playing on his fifth year option. You have that ability, but if you're able to get extensions done for both of those guys, then you open the door to being able to lock up more of your foundational pieces, which to me is what this offseason is all about.
There it is. So I don't know if there's anything else to say on it, because I feel like the two of us are both pretty definitive on what we would do with Christian Wilkins. I do want to come back to a comment that you made earlier, though, which is that you view this year not as a year where the Dolphins need to go all in to win the Super Bowl.
Right.
You view 2024 more as a transitional year to 2025, where you feel that is the next time the Dolphins are going to be all in for the Super Bowl, as opposed to 24?
Well, I'm not going to sit here and say that there's not a world where they can make a run in 2024, but I think realistically, if you were to go all in, what would that look like? If you were to go all in and you said, we need to win the Super Bowl in 2024, and so we're going to go and we're going to do everything possible organizationally to get that done, what would that look like?
So first of all, it would involve keeping Christian Wilkins. In fact, I would say it would involve keeping most of, if not all of those guys who are the big question marks. So you're keeping Christian Wilkins. I think in that case, if I'm going all in, I've got to find a way to keep Andrew Van Ginkle around as well, knowing that I'm going to be playing without Phillips and Chubb, at least being at 100% for the first chunk of the season next year. So I think having a guy like Van Ginkle is going to become important, although I feel like that one is possibly going to be out of reach, although we'll come back to that conversation in a later episode. But I think you've got to, I would make the argument that you want to, if you're all in for 2024, that you want to run back as much as you can from 2023, bring in, at least defensively, you want to run it back on defense as much as you possibly can, because I thought that that unit at full health was pretty dang good. We saw that drop off when the injury started. It just became too much to overcome. And then on offense, you've got to find a true number three receiver, and whether that's Eric Azukama, who, you know, dealt with that injury and we lost him for the year, I think an underrated aspect of this offense dropping off, or, you know, drafting a true number three receiver, you got to find that other explosive playmaker at receiver, and then you got to build that offensive line. You got to build that offensive line. You got to find a way to bring back Connor Williams. You got to find a way to bring back Robert Hunt. And then hopefully Teron Armstead comes back. And then you've got to boost up the other side of the line, because I think you can improve on Austin Jackson. I think you can improve.
Well, you just signed Austin Jackson to an extension. So I don't
know. Yeah. Yeah. I guess you're right. So, I mean, you got him, but you got to bolster that offensive line because it just wasn't good enough. It just wasn't good enough, especially when you've got a quarterback who, as much as there are certain things about his game that I like, this is not, our quarterback is not, excuse me. Our quarterback is not Josh Allen. Our quarterback is not Patrick Mahomes. Our quarterback is not Lamar Jackson. This is not a guy that is going to, when everything else breaks down, find a way to consistently get the job done. This is not a guy that's going to do that. It's not that doesn't mean that he's not a guy that you can win with, but he is a guy that you're going to need to build everything around him to be perfect for. And, you know, that's what you got to do. You got to bolster that offensive line and build everything up so that you're not depending on your quarterback to be the one who's winning every single game for you.
Yeah. And so if you're going to do all of that, I don't know how realistic that is, because if you're going to go and you're going to say, well, I'm going to bring back everybody on the offensive line, I'm going to bring back Christian Wilkins on defense, I'm going to bring back Andrew Van Ginkle, well, then you're sure as hell not going to be bringing back Jerome Baker. You're probably going to be cutting bait with Xavien Howard. And you're also, you know, are you going to have money to sign Deshaun Elliott, or are you going to bring back Brandon Jones, depending on what defense you run? And then, you know, even guys like Duke Riley, like if you don't sign Jerome Baker, I mean, if you cut Jerome Baker, well, then are you signing Duke Riley to come in and be the starter? Because then you have to pay him more than you paid him this past season. So what's going to happen is, if you're in all in mode, what you're going to end up doing is you're going to end up, it's one thing to lock up Christian Wilkins and Robert Hunt and Connor Williams, because these guys are all either Pro Bowl level or close. And it's another thing to be overpaying and backloading deals for an Andrew Van Ginkle or a Deshaun Elliott or a Duke Riley or a Brandon Jones. And then you talk about draft capital and like, what are we using the draft picks on? You're going to use it on a wide receiver, or are you going to use it on an offensive line? You only have so many. Are you going to use it on a corner? Are you going to use it on a linebacker to be that upgrade over Baker or Duke Riley? Do you just believe that Channing Tindall is all of a sudden going to step in and be an absolute monster? Realistically, no matter what the Dolphins do this offseason, the best thing that they can do is lock up as many foundational pieces as they can. And even if they do, the back end of their roster, the bottom probably third of their roster in this coming season, are going to be young, unproven talent and vet minimum guys that are just there to fill a role. And the depth is going to take a hit, which means that, yeah, sure, if you stay a lot healthier and you get Tua to take another step and, you know, everybody, you know, your offensive line continues to gel and get better and Mike McDaniel improves as a play caller, and these are all things that could definitely happen. Yeah, the Dolphins absolutely have a shot. But this is going to be a team next year that's not built to withstand the types of injuries that they had this year and even go 11-6. Certainly not when you consider the fact that the Kansas City Chiefs just had their worst team in about 7 years. And they're going to the Super Bowl and they've got about, I think it's like $60 million in cap space next year. So it's just like, take a look around, understand that 2024, you can put yourself in a position to have a puncher's chance, but realistically, you need to bring back your foundational pieces while not screwing yourself in the long run, keeping an eye on the fact that in a couple of years, you're going to need to be talking about contract extensions for Jalen Waddle and for Jalen Phillips and for Javon Holland. And you're going to need to draft exceptionally well over these next couple of years to build that back half of the roster and hope that you hit on a couple of guys that become impact players that add into that fold. And then you've got a chance in 2025 and 2026 for this to truly be a Super Bowl team.
Yeah, it's an important part of this process is that if you're looking to build long term, the draft is a really important way to proceed. And the Dolphins just have not had a whole lot of draft capital recently. And they've also sacrificed a whole bunch of it to bring in these guys, which is why this window is so short. It's why this season was such a disappointment to have it end the way that it did, because of how invested they were in that season in particular. So it's an interesting idea. So, Brian, I think that's going to wrap us up for this episode, unless you've got anything else that you'd like to add.
I think that we've pretty much summed it up. I want to talk about, maybe we'll have like a quick little production meeting here live on the show.
Oh.
I was thinking that next week we could do Connor Williams and yes. Robert Hunt
yes.
in the same show, because I think yes. they're going to get similar contracts and they're both talking about the offensive line. And so that's what I was thinking. And then after that, then I think we'll talk about Andrew Van Ginkle and then Xavien Howard. And then if there's another show before the start of the league year, then we'll kind of do the other guys.
Yes. Yes. So there it is. So that's what's going on. And then maybe at some point in there, we'll talk about a new defensive coordinator, because that's probably going to happen probably shortly after we go off the air here. So that's going to wrap it for this episode of the Same Old Dolphin Show. Thanks as always for joining us. Make sure you're following us if you're not already at Amplified to Rock, at Aaron the Brain, at Same Old Dolphins. Smash that like button on the Dolphins Suck YouTube channel. Subscribe to the channel. Give us your thoughts on Patreon, ideas, things that you would be into. Visit DolphinsTalk.com. Leave us a 5-star rating, a positive review on Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud, Stitcher, everywhere that you get your podcasts. We appreciate it very much. And we will be back in your ears next week talking about the offensive line. Until then, take care of yourselves and each other. And as always, go Dolphins!
Just win a playoff game in 2025. That's fine. Just win a playoff game.
Just win a playoff game in 2025? How about 2024?
Oh.